Welcome one and all to another day in American news, as covered by The Damage Report with me, John Arola. And we're very lucky to be joined once again on the show by the host of Overruled, a constant presence on the network, especially Tuesdays on Indisputable, Adrian Lawrence. Welcome back to The Damage Report.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you here, particularly today. We've got a couple of legal stories that we could use your perspective on. So thank you for taking time out. I know you're quite busy.
No problem. I actually thought you were excited to have me because it's 420, which, you know, is no day in particular. I just like round numbers. And so this really seems to fit that.
That is true. I actually meant to mention that, but I forgot. My short-term memory is hell. I don't understand why, but thank you for being here. And to you as well out there in the audience, regardless of what platform you're on, thank you for being here and supporting the show and not, you know, backing off of continuing this difficult fight. It is difficult indeed, but the only way that we're going to succeed is together. So thank you for being here. And through the course of this show, we've got a lot that we're going to be talking about. We are finally going to dive into the libs of TikTok. We have to. We couldn't avoid it. What is this about? What effect does it have? Are people being doxxed? We're going to adjudicate that in a little bit. Ted Cruz is going to detail some of his new fetishes. That's exciting. We believe in that sort of thing. We've got an awesome fiery response to an accusation of grooming by a state senator from Michigan and a whole lot more besides. So everyone, I'm going to need you to buckle up and hold on to your butts as we launch into a ton of fascinating news. Along the way, by the way, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button, assuming you're on a platform that allows for that sort of thing, that'd be great for algorithm. And yeah, if you can send us any comments, tweets, super chats you have, we'll respond as we go. And with all that said, Adrian, are you ready to talk about some news?
Let's rock.
Okay, I was just gonna talk about news. Let's rock, starting with this.
What happened to the woman who runs Libs of TikTok, her life being destroyed, was not the work of Taylor Lorenz, the fearless journalist who cries on TV from her PTSD. No, it was a foreign intelligence operation designed to silence and intimidate an American citizen. Wait, is that legal? Did the Biden administration have any role in this particular intel op? Why is the German government trying to shut down an American Twitter account posting about American teachers? And since she was the recipient, the willing recipient of this information from a foreign government designed to destroy an American citizen, why hasn't Taylor Lorenz at the very least registered under the Foreign Agent Registration Act, FARA?
Okay, so there's a lot going on there. You know, we're familiar at this point with the fact that the average Tucker Carlson viewer frequently drools while watching it. I thought it was advanced age. Perhaps it's because they've been reduced into a stupor from the sheer volume, the detachment, the misinformation coming at him. So Taylor Lorenz is a reporter for the Washington Post who did a profile recently on the person behind Libs of TikTok, which we'll get into. She did that for the Washington Post about someone who is indisputably newsworthy. That person's life has not been destroyed by the fact that their name is now known. Tucker Carlson, of course, does not describe how her life has been destroyed. He simply states it. Because if he were to be honest about what he's covering, a journalist for the Washington Post reveals the person behind an incredibly politically influential social media account. Well, that's hardly gonna freak people out, Adrian. So instead, it's the German government and the Biden administration were apparently involved and would have to be involved for a journalist to identify a person behind a TikTok account, I suppose, or a Twitter account. It's madness. And we're gonna give you all the details, but Adrian, have you been following this story as it's been developing throughout the week?
Okay, so I've seen inklings of this story throughout the week, and I was just completely and totally ready to dismiss it, in part because I know that Tucker Carlson has gone at Taylor Lorenz before and doxed her and ruined her life. And so it really was disheartening to see that her name was still in his mouth. And also, it just seemed like she was doing her job as a journalist. So it's really disheartening and sad to see that this is really still what's going on when it comes to Fox News, and it's nonsense.
Exactly. So here, there's a lot of things that we need to fight back against in this. One of the most core ones, though, is the accusations that Taylor Lorenz has doxxed this individual. So of course, the right would prefer that we live in a world where words mean whatever we want. fake news had a specific meaning, but it was inconvenient for the right. So they just define it as whatever they want. Legitimate news becomes fake news. Words have no true meaning. I don't live in that world. I live in a world where facts matter. Doxing involves very specific identifiable information that can lead someone to the home or workplace of an individual. And generally, although this is more of a connotation than a denotation, it is sending someone to do that. It is a threatening stance. Identifying a newsworthy person is not doxing. And I think that the right actually gets this, Adrian, because for about one day, they were content to simply say that she had doxed the libs of TikTok person. The strike back was, it's not doxing to just say who a person is. Now they've decided, instead of just using the word inaccurately, we're gonna flat out lie. And so you can find any number of tweets that will say Taylor Lorenz revealed the home address of this person. And the only way that you can do that and get away with it is if you assume, probably rightly, that not a single one of the right wingers reading your tweet will actually read the article and see that nothing like that occurred. They are making highly specific, easily verifiable or debunkable claims about that article that simply do not hold any water. There was no doxing. A person with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of followers who is in direct contact with Republican politicians, who has helped to set the culture war agenda for the right for going on a year now, that has already resulted in multiple pieces of legislation which are literally stripping away people's rights on a daily basis, is the definition of a newsworthy topic. Okay? And the person, their identity being revealed, not their workplace, not their home, not leading anyone to them, is not doxing. That is simple journalism. And that is why the right is freaking out. They want people like libs of TikTok to be able to dwell in anonymity in this weird gray zone where they will keep saying it's not newsworthy, but the only reason they're invested is because of how much they care about this. They love the ability of libs of TikTok to get millions of conservatives fired up every day to go after individual teachers, individual trans people, doing far more doxing in the process than anything that Taylor Lorenz did. I apologize. I obviously have a lot of thoughts about this, Adrian, but I want to give you a chance.
It makes me mad. I can tell, and I completely understand why. And something I would add to that is that what the right wants to do is essentially say the left is doing the exact same thing we're doing. So they're misusing this term dox to try to attribute to Taylor Lorenz some of the sick and twisted things that they've done. And to be able to say, oh, everybody's doing it and they're just as bad as us, when that is very much not the case at all. You know, it just really shows you that these individuals have no intent on doing right or doing anything honorable, but instead they will conflate, misuse, they will do everything they can to try to put people in precarious positions or to misrepresent the truth.
Exactly. Yeah, and look, I'm glad that Taylor Lorenz is defending herself. We're gonna get to some of the other defenders. She used this meme to point out the most basic reporting practices, right-wing media. Is this doxing? It's 100%. Look, Tucker Carlson knows, he doesn't care. His guests, including, by the way, Glenn Greenwald, who, as literally nobody didn't think that he was gonna be brought on Tucker Carlson to defend libs of TikTok, whose sole purpose is to get millions and millions of Americans to define their politics entirely by hatred for the LGBTQ community, goes on there, pretends he doesn't understand any of this. He doesn't understand what doxing is, despite his past with doxing sources for The Intercept. He doesn't understand any of this, and he's just happy to help the right defend this account, this libs of TikTok account. And if you're not familiar with libs of TikTok, basically what they do is they go on social media. They'll take like a teacher saying something very benign, maybe a teacher identifying that they are personally gay. They will then lie about the content of it in captions and then spread it to try to get their followers to harass these teachers or individuals to get them fired. It is the definition of whatever cancel culture is supposed to be, as presented by the right. That is what this is. And it really plays into something we've been talking about for some time here. It is how you mechanically, through technology, go about producing the Karenization of politics, where all politics is not about resources. It's not about economics. It's not about crises. It is about getting every single person to just get involved in regular people's lives. And I've also talked about the fact that a lot of past decades, over the past century or so, there's been a lot of predictions about how exactly you produce like a fascist dystopia. And in a lot of those portrayals, what they do is they produce a population that are sheep. And we have seen very clearly that that's not how you do it. You produce a population that are piranha. And every day you just toss a little nugget of meat into the water and you see them shred it. And that is what they're doing. And Libs of TikTok is one of the main tools for that, identifying regular people, a teacher from some city in Illinois, a trans athlete from Texas, and then pointing it out to millions of people through the power of social media and saying, go get them. That is what your mania is about today. You're gonna take this person down. You're gonna ruin, actually ruin their lives. Libs of TikTok is perfectly fine. They're gonna be incredibly wealthy by the end of this. Oh, what do you know? They announced that they've got a Substack too. The circle of grift continues.
Yeah, and one thing also too that I find to be rather perplexing, I don't know how you'd say it, but the fact that when they put her name out there, that can expose her to potential lawsuits, this individual who's running Libs of TikTok. And so now that she's been identified, it kind of takes a little bit of that veil away and sets her up for potential accountability, whether it's a defamation lawsuit or if that individual is well aware that their followers are taking that information and using it to harass the person that's a subject of their TikTok, then that individual now can go to the source. There might be various laws available to them to seek to right the wrong that's being created by Libs of TikTok. And that's something that is somewhat redeeming in this situation. But like you said, the right is angry about that because they want this individual to be able to operate under the cloak of anonymity as opposed to have to defend yourself and actually face potential consequences for your actions.
In me defending Taylor Lorenz or pointing out that her identity being revealed isn't doxing, I don't have any vested interest in any consequences for her. But I understand the game that is being played. They want her anonymity, not to protect her. She's under no threat, and I don't want her to be. I don't want anyone to harass Libs of TikTok any more than the individuals that Libs of TikTok has made their name and eventually their fortune by harassing. I don't want that. But what I also don't want is the right-wing game where they pretend this is just a regular person. It's just organic. It's some regular person that's doing something the left is freaking out about. No, we're gonna be very specific about what this person is doing. This person, by the way, was apparently at the Capitol on January 6th, had gone through multiple phases of their social media, desperately trying in a very Dave Rubin way to find something that will break through and make them a name. They did the QAnon stuff, they did Trump stuff, they did all that. And then eventually they landed on, oh, you know what's really popular these days? Homophobia, and I'm gonna jump into that. That's all it is. Now they've got like a job with the Babylon Bee or whatever. They're continually talking with Ron DeSantis and his team. Whatever this is, it's not a regular grassroots person just doing the Lord's work. But that's the myth that they want. The right has tons of money, tons of infrastructure, tons of systematic support for their machine. But that also is really inauthentic. It's artificial. They need the veneer of grassroots for their movements, for their protests, for their Libs of TikTok. That's what they need. That's, by the way, why they love people like Joe Rogan and Elon Musk. They're continually talking about these independent thinkers who suspiciously agree with them on virtually everything. It's because they need plausible deniability that there are people who aren't paid operatives, ideologues that agree with them. And so they will laud these people. Like for instance, Glenn Greenwald being brought on every day is for exactly this. He doesn't identify vocally as a hard right winger, despite the fact that he wants Republicans to maintain control of the US government in virtually every election, suspiciously. And by the way, he's only ever brought on Fox News to agree with them, but they use the cloak of people's past reputations, the supposed independent position that they hold or at one point in the distant now mythic past held to make it seem as if they're more popular than they are, because their positions are wildly unpopular. It requires tons of PR on a daily basis to pretend that that isn't the truth. Anyway, yeah, I don't know.
I completely agree.
It's just so frustrating. It's so much money goes into this. And what's the end result? Stripping people of their rights. Mm-hmm. Like if you're watching this, like if you're a conservative, do you believe that the Republicans have decided that the 2022 election should effectively be like a massive nationwide ballot initiative on whether gay people should be allowed to live because they care about your economic circumstances and they have a lot of plans for how they're gonna make your lives better. Do you think that's why that this is what their focus is? Come on, you cannot be that stupid. They assume that you're that stupid. Some of you might be. I hope and think that you can't in mass numbers be that stupid.
Unfortunately, I think a lot of them are, which is why they, you know, these individuals continue to succeed, why they have libs of TikTok and so on and so forth. Yeah.
I'm just mentioning like two more points on this. One, the libs of TikTok person is now mass deleting tweets, which by the way, you're allowed to do. You have no obligation to leave up your old tweets. But when people have now pointed out who you are and the sort of work that you've done in the past, including possibly being involved in the insurrection, we'll see. The fact that she's deleting thousands of tweets, I don't know, that's interesting. I think that's worth noting. Also, some credit to the Washington Post for standing behind Taylor Lorenz, saying she's an accomplished and diligent journalist whose reporting methods comport entirely with the Washington Post's professional standards. They point out that the libs of TikTok woman, Chaya Raichik, has had significant impact on public discourse and her identity had become public knowledge on social media. We did not publish or link to any details about her personal life. All of that is true. Taylor Lorenz has identified a person in her area of focus, which is social media and technology, that is having an incredibly outsized effect on legislation that is not just hypothetical in the future, that has already been passed. And the mass mobilization of homophobes as a basis for Republican politics. That is the job of journalists, and she's doing it. That's why they freak out about her. That's why they're all tweeting about her. That's why Tucker Carlson can't go a day without doing a monologue about her, about mocking her struggles with mental health and things like that. It ain't because she's a joke you can ignore. It's because they fear what she's doing, actually identifying bad actors in our politics.
Yeah, you are absolutely correct about that. The reason he continues to go after her, Tucker Carlson attacking Taylor Lorenz, and have his minions go after her, is because she's effective at what she does. And she is doing right by exposing the right and all of their ridiculousness and the things that are harmful for our society. And so I'm glad the Washington Post stood behind her. It's just sad that it even needs to happen, because it almost adds a little bit of legitimacy to the critique that Fox News is spouting out with this propaganda.
Great. Exactly. Okay, we're gonna take a little break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears up just a little bit. Well, I mean, look, this is what all politics is about now. This is what the election is about. So we're still gonna be talking about this meta issue, but we've got something a little bit more inspiring for you after this. With that said, let's jump into something that's a little bit difficult, but a little bit inspiring at the same time with this.
I didn't expect to wake up yesterday to the news that the senator from the 22nd district had overnight accused me by name of grooming and sexualizing children in an email fundraising for herself. So I sat on it for a while wondering why me. And then I realized, because I am the biggest threat to your hollow, hateful scheme. Because you can't claim that you are targeting marginalized kids in the name of, quote, parental rights if another parent is standing up to say no.
That is Michigan State Senator Mallory McMorrow, who has gone viral for her harsh reaction, justified 100% against Lana Theus, candidate for state senate as well, who put out this statement. You're gonna see this is like a fundraising thing, and it's all just the everybody who disagrees with me is a groomer stuff. Apologies if you can't read the text, but identifies in that these are the people we're up against, progressive social media trolls like Mallory McMorrow, who aren't outraged they can't teach, can't groom and sexualize kindergartners, or that 8-year-olds are responsible for slavery. It's all insane, conspiratorial, QAnon nonsense. And as someone who's been so frustrated by this spreading, it feels great to have someone responding to it. And to that end, we're gonna give you more of what Mallory McMorrow had to say.
So who am I? I am a straight, white, Christian, married, suburban mom who knows that the very notion that learning about slavery or redlining or systemic racism somehow means that children are being taught to feel bad or hate themselves because they are white is absolute nonsense. No child alive today is responsible for slavery. No one in this room is responsible for slavery. But each and every single one of us bears responsibility for writing the next chapter of history. Each and every single one of us decides what happens next and how we respond to history and the world around us. People who are different are not the reason that our roads are in bad shape after decades of disinvestment, or that healthcare costs are too high, or that teachers are leaving the profession. I want every child in this state to feel seen, heard, and supported, not marginalized and targeted because they are not straight, white, and Christian. We cannot let hateful people tell you otherwise to scapegoat and deflect from the fact that they are not doing anything to fix the real issues that impact people's lives. And I know that hate will only win if people like me stand by and let it happen.
I've rarely felt as seen by the speech of a state senator there. Identifying what they're doing, the game, why they're doing it, why the Republicans are focusing on this stuff. Love that there. Adrian, what do you think about this?
I'm really glad that she spoke up and she used her privilege and her positioning to fight back, to say something about it, because they are using these false just narratives, incorporating this whole, you know, child molestation, predatory angle, as well as lying about slavery, just so that they can erase the past and also erase the identities of members of the queer community. And it's old and it's pathetic and it's not okay. So I'm really glad that she's spoke up and she said something.
Yeah, and very specifically there, she was fighting back against this idea, which is very common, which is one side is speaking out for parents to protect kids. And that is, there's only one interest that parents have. They all agree with the right on this. Well, no, they don't. And so I'm glad there that you see her saying, no, I'm a parent. I have kids. You don't speak for me.
Nope. And also using her privilege as a white woman and saying that is incredibly important. You know, because this narrative that you can't teach children about history because they're going to feel bad as white children, it's a way to avoid a reckoning. It's a way to avoid the reality that our society is not equal, that all of these narratives and honestly, these tales that have been told about the world in which we live, that it's not accurate. And so giving children some understanding of where they come from and also where we've all come from in this nation, it's so we can have a better tomorrow so that we don't end up repeating this past. And for that woman to stand up and to say something about it and to say that she supports that knowledge, it goes a long way.
Yeah, 100%. And we need to fight back against the side that is, they're terrified of anyone who's lived a life not like theirs. Just that's been a constant throughout their politics for a long time. And they're terrified of their kids learning anything that they don't know, of being curious, of being exposed to other ways of life, not bent into them, forced in, nothing like that is happening, will happen. That is insane. But simply knowing that other experiences exist, which I would say that philosophically, kind of a bedrock of school and education. I mean, we could just train you like in a very particular job from kindergarten if we wanted to do that. But anyway, look, I want to go into some of the specific. Mallory McMorrow, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've said it. Thank you, producer, for fact checking there. No, we've said it. I want to go into some of the specific claims that were made, because I can't discount the possibility that you might be watching this and not have been following the development of this as like the main strain of American politics. I want to respond to some of the claims that are made by Lana. I'm going to say Theis. Some people are saying it might be Tice. I don't really care at this point, honestly. Said, here's what's happening. Gender bending indoctrination, confusing them about their identities. No, acknowledging that there are other orientations is not suggesting them as things for one to pick up as a hobby. That's not how that works. There's no bending, there's just acknowledging that it exists. By the way, indoctrination works both ways. Forcing ignorance is one way to indoctrinate kids into accepting and favoring the status quo. Indoctrination is not just about what you say, it is also about what you ban from being said. Because again, remember, these are the people that talk about how cancel culture is bad and there is no limit to the things they want to by law force teachers from not saying. exposure to inappropriate sexual content, stealing their innocence. That is perhaps of all of this, and so much of it is misinformation, the most detached from reality. There is no porn being shown. And by the way, in the limited cases where it's even accidentally shown, we profile it. We did on the show yesterday, a teacher accidentally showed some pornography and was immediately fired. That's not what any of this is. Saying that gay people exist is no more sexual or pornographic than acknowledging that straight people exist. Education about orientation is not about how to transition from one sexual position to another. That's not how that works. And I shouldn't have to point that out. Everybody knows that. But again, in all of these cases, one of the through lines is they know on some level that what they're arguing against just isn't scary enough to produce a mass movement. That's why they have to lie about it. And finally, race-based education, critical race theory, pitting children against each other. Adrian, as we've talked about so many times, that is just not what any of that is about.
Nope, not at all. No, but a lot of these right-wingers are trying to avoid that level of introspection, that level of actually being able to pay attention to the lives of individuals around you and realizing that the status quo that's been established is not because so-and-so is better or working harder. It'll undermine their entire, their whole theory of having it to be a meritorious society. And if you just work hard, things will work out for you. No, it's just these people don't want to face reality and they don't want to make room for other people and acknowledge difference. This is something that, unfortunately, it is that making America great again, 1940s, 50 mentality. It's not good. It's not going to work.
No. And finally, I want to go into this. Lana Theis, don't care, did not respond to her colleague's speech on the Senate floor, and a representative did not immediately reply to a request for comment. Because honestly, why would you? Why would you? You send out the fundraising thing, you lie about a million different things. You make specific claims asserting that a state senator is a pedophile. You have no evidence for it. You don't require evidence for it. Why would you, when the targets of your fundraising appeal, what are they gonna have follow-up questions? Are they gonna be Googling, wait, is there robust evidence that Mallory McMorrow is grooming people? No, they don't care. The I do my own research people have one thing in common across all of them. They don't do any research, and the people making these appeals understand that. Why respond? This is what politics is. Make insane conspiratorial claims and know that the people you're talking to are even more ignorant than you. They will never fact check it. There will never be any consequences for it. She might well win this race. That's my fear at this point. Any final thoughts, Adrian?
No, I agree with you. I fear it as well, because I just think that the right has really created, or actually, I guess, galvanized this fear mentality, this fear mindset, this thought that our children are being hypersexualized, our children are being exposed to things they shouldn't be. Also, this thought that there is going to be some kind of change in power when it comes to the racial demographics and how this works. And so people are so incredibly afraid that it does make me think that they are going to vote against their interests. And we've seen it happen time and time again. And that's the thing, is they're keeping people ignorant and they're keeping people afraid, and it's going to be the downfall for us all.
Exactly. No, you're 100% right. These are people predisposed psychologically to be terrified, who are terrified, and they consume hours of content every day designed to make them even more terrified. That's not good for democracy. Oh. Okay, unfortunately, if you thought that was a weird aspect on this story, we've got potentially an even weirder one. Take a look at this.
I think there are people who are misguided, trying to drive, Disney stepping in saying, in every episode now they're going to have, Mickey and Pluto going at it. Like, really?
No, not really. That's not going to happen. Or at least I've watched a lot of Disney and I've never seen animals or anyone actually having sex. Although, to be fair, it is difficult to know exactly what Ted Cruz is doing there. Is he completely ignorant about Disney content? Is he being completely dishonest about it? Is it sort of a vision board sort of thing? He's putting it out there so that they will produce it? I don't know, because he's liar. He's a massive liar. He's cringy. He's stupid and he's weird. It could be any one of those things. Perhaps he'll explain in his next clip.
But it's just like, come on, guys. Like these are kids, and you could always shift to Cinemax if you want that. Like, why do you have... It used to be, look, I'm a dad. Like, you used to be able to put your kids on the Disney Channel and be like, all right, something innocuous will happen.
That if you put them on the Disney Channel.
Yeah, it reminds me.
Only innocuous things are going to happen. There's no sex. Again, Adrian, like I guess it's pointless sometimes to do fact checks. A gay character existing and a straight character existing, is one of those inherently more pornographic than the other?
No, not at all. But by virtue of the fact that a lot of people hypersexualized individuals who aren't heterosexual or cisgender, that's exactly what Ted Cruz is playing on. This thought that I'm going to hypersexualize you just based on your very existence, whether you're doing something sexual or not, because I subscribe to this cis heteronormative ideology. And you know, it also really just shows you how sexualized their mindsets are, as far as I'm concerned. The thought that you would even think of Disney and something sexual together, and you're going to make that a topic of conversation. I get what you're trying to do, but really this just showcases your shenanigans.
Exactly. By the way, it's not new for him to showcase his shenanigans there. He's apparently been dreaming up scenarios where a cartoon mouse and a dog go at it. Well, I don't know. If he looks enough, he might be able to find that, by the way, on Reddit. He's found some interesting stuff in the past. Midas Touch parodied something that we're going to remind people of here with this tweet of, I believe it's porn star Corey Chase looking in and seeing Mickey and who is that? Is that Goofy going at it or Pluto? Anyway, that's of course a reference. If you don't remember the time back in 2017 where Ted Cruz's Twitter account liked a porn video of a woman watching two people go at it. The Washington Post was forced at that point to describe the video, which they did as this. It's just over 2 minutes. Details of its contents mostly unprintable. It features a sectional sofa, the pornographic actress Corey Chase, her fictitious nude stepdaughter, and a very energetic young man. Anyway, Ted Cruz is apparently a fan of that. Well, look, he would have you believe it wasn't him that accidentally liked the video. He said there are a number of people on the team that have access to the account, and it appears that someone inadvertently hit the like button. When asked if he had liked the tweet, he said it was a staffing issue and it was inadvertent. It was a mistake. It was not a deliberate action. And you know that a person is being honest when they provide a whole bunch of different reasons for something happened, Adrian.
Come on, like this has never happened to you. But also, how sloppy do you have to be to have liked a porn post when you know you're a senator? Like, come on, did you think there'd be no record of this? I hate our whole puritanical society mentality. Like, people don't enjoy sex. And also there are various things that people do to enhance their sex lives. This is part of being human. This is so normal. Why are the right pushing this whole thought of sex being bad? And especially when they're the ones out involved in a lot of this sexual risque behavior that is things that they condemn. Like, I'm always baffled.
I'm sure there's a lot of potential explanations for what you just said. I'm not an expert, nor am I a telepath. Looking at Ted Cruz, I find it inconceivable that we could exist in a universe in which he has ever had a sexual experience that the other person enjoyed. So I'm gonna assume that it's just a lifetime of bad sex. That probably will apply to a lot of right-wing pundits. But anyway, by the way, liking a porn tweet is not a bad thing, because there's nothing wrong with porn. There's just something wrong with Ted Cruz. That's the thing. And by the way, I'm inevitably going to do it. So everyone get ready to defend me when that happens. The issue with Ted Cruz is that this is a guy who has tried to ban sex toys previously in Texas. Also, we might take issue with the fact that he liked that porn on 9/11.
Oh my God.
Does that matter?
9/11?
No. Yeah, no, not 2001. It was 9/11 in 2017. And that shouldn't matter, but kind of feels like it does. Anyway, there's nothing wrong with it. There's just something wrong with him. And more so, there's something wrong with the fact that you have a right-wing pundit in Michael Knowles and Ted Cruz there knowingly lying about what Disney is doing to bamboozle and con their audience. And that's why we stress that there is effectively no difference between right-wing politicians and media. They do the same thing. By the way, those two people are co-hosts on a show, so they're making the argument very easy for me. And it's not to say that there aren't genuine bigotries and biases, but it's also strategic. It's not purely strategic. Look, the fact that Michael Knowles can't go one show without demonizing the trans community, that is almost certainly strategic. The fact that I once shared a green room with him and we were standing in silence and he just spontaneously started talking about the trans community, that's personal at that point. There were no cameras on. It was just a highly weird thing on a personal level for a guy to do. And so this is what we're fighting against. They know that they have nothing they want to deliver. There's no economic aid. There's no policy coming. The status quo favors them and they have both been dispatched. Careers have been provided to both of them to defend the status quo. And the most efficient, powerful tool they have is distraction. And if the right-wing population across America is freaked out about Pluto blowing Mickey or whatever, then they're probably not gonna realize that billionaires are getting away with almost literal murder when it comes to tax evasion and things like that. So that's my argument, Adrian. Any other thoughts about this weird story?
No, I completely agree with your argument in terms of keeping the people busy, bickering about things that should not be consequential, all while you rob them. But also too, this thought that this individual, Mr. Knowles, continues to just spout out things that are anti-trans, it makes me think that there's more going on, because why is that your just kind of go-to thing, unless that's something that impacts your own identity and maybe you need to work on those things and just come to terms. And then also too, one thing in that clip that you played where they're sitting on the stage, why is it that the gentleman and Ted Cruz are in these big lounge chairs and then they have the woman sitting in this erect chair? I just thought it was super weird, the setup. I've never watched that show before, but it's like, what is going on there? It's weird. It's weird.
I have no idea. It is definitely weird. I love that those two guys, which definitely are constantly worried about whether they're alpha enough, have chosen seats that like make them look the most like fifth graders possible.
Yes.
Can we go back to a shot of that?
That's why I'm like, what the hell? He's swimming in that seat. And I think they really thought that they were in some kind of bro lounge thing.
Yeah.
Where it really just, it dwarfs you significantly.
It dwarfs them.
And then having the woman sit upright, I don't know her position, if she's a regular, that's her role, but it felt very decorative as opposed to substantive, given the positioning of both of them. It just, everything about it just says missing the mark.
Yeah, by the way, I like that style of chair. I just would choose one that was sized to me and didn't look like I was acting out an Alice in Wonderland type situation. I don't know. Sorry, I don't mean to bring up Disney and trigger the right or anything.
Oh no, it's okay. I think Ted Cruz has Alice in Wonderland fantasy. God,
who doesn't?
Yeah, it reminds me of Define a Woman. I'm not a biologist. That seems to be a favorite of libs these days. She also was asked, is the mask mandate still in effect? To which she replied, I don't know. Okay, well, you're the press secretary. You know how government works. That's a snarky answer. The answer is we respect the opinions of the federal judiciary, including that of a federal judge in Florida, but that's not what she said. Biden administration calling this disappointing. Harris, I was mid-flight last night. Middle of my flight, the flight attendant stands there and says, breaking news, if you want to take off your mask, take off your mask.
How about that?
There were cheers, there was an eruption, there was joy. So if the Biden administration wants to express disappointment as America collectively cheers, they can try to do that. But I hope Jen Psaki at the podium today fights very hard against this ruling. I hope President Biden does. I hope they show the true autocrats they are, because that's exactly what they are. And also shame on those talking about this federal judge. I've met her. I've met her at the Federalist Society, spoken to her. She's a smart woman, four federal judicial clerkships, worked at Jones Day. Yeah, go ahead, go after her, go after America. We're all celebrating.
Oh, well, if you met her at the Federalist Society, I guess she must be great. Wait, did the ABA meet her before they ruled her unqualified for the position? I have a feeling they probably talked to her too. Anyway, that is Kayleigh McEnany, former press secretary, attacking Jen Psaki, current press secretary, for their answer about the elimination of the mask mandate for public transport, saying, we don't know exactly what's gonna happen, which, by the way, this could be appealed, it could be re-implemented. It's a fairly honest, it's not even an offensive answer in any way, but Kayleigh McEnany has a big problem with it, thinks that she was being flippant or insulting towards the judge. Adrian, we haven't talked about this yet, but obviously the mask mandate was taken down by a Trump appointee. I think it was 33-year-old when she was initially put on the bench. Again, rated not qualified by the ABA. What do you think about all this?
Okay, so this judge, her ruling and decision, it doesn't necessarily mean that it has universal presence. It does not have precedent necessarily across the nation. And yet the nation is acting like that's the case. There are often times where there are federal courts in different places in the United States who make rulings. And so it's generally only in that jurisdiction where you could say that it's truly persuasive. So I don't know why so many airlines are like, yeah, we're done with it because one federal judge said something. The thing is, what I actually expect to happen is someone to challenge it in another federal court somewhere else in the United States and to get a whole different ruling. We just saw this with Madison Cawthorn and the article, Section 3 of Article 14, or 14th Amendment, excuse me, and with Marjorie Taylor Greene. You have two different federal judges saying two different things. And so, you know what, it was smart for Psaki to say, hey, we got to wait on this. We don't know what could happen, because that's true. It's just, I really wish the rest of the country wasn't just so willing to go ahead and get rid of masks because of one judge's ruling that may not even extend to their jurisdiction.
Exactly. And by the way, you're right, and she is to some extent right, that some people would like to get rid of the mask mandate, particularly on planes. I mean, after all, how many midair freakouts have we shown of people who are incensed at having to not infect people with a deadly virus? Yes, there are some people who will be happy, and there is footage of some people cheering. But facts are inconvenient sometimes for her in this case, because a very recent poll shows 59% of Americans supported the mask rule that was just taken out. So look, two things can be true at the same time. Do some Americans not want to wear masks? Well, indisputably, from the very beginning of this thing, some people haven't wanted to be a part of the solution. But no, it is not true that, like, oh, the Biden administration should rue the day that they tried to push for this. They'll face the wrath of the voters over it. No, the voters largely were perfectly fine with it. And we can break it down, by the way. 59% either strongly supported or somewhat supported an extension of the mask mandate. Only 32% somewhat opposed or strongly opposed. By the way, strongly opposed, which is what she's presenting as the default position, that people are cheering in the streets over this, is 22% of the population. And I say this because we face so much misinformation that no matter how much time we here on this program or on others like it try to fight back against it, you might come away with some mistaken impressions that I feel like I'm doing the right thing, but I guess the country doesn't agree with me. No, they do agree with you. The mask mandate was reasonable and people accepted it as such. And so it's gonna be appealed, by the way, the overruling of it. People were largely okay with it. They understood the public health interest implicit in that mask mandate. And there's now an attempt, not only after they've won here, but to rewrite history and pretend that people were overwhelmingly against it when they just weren't and aren't.
Nope, exactly. A lot of us really did enjoy it, in part because, hey, especially in airports, I don't want you to talk to me. That'd be nice. Mm-hmm. Also, not everybody fully brushes their teeth. And a lot of us didn't get sick over the last 2 years if they didn't get COVID. It's just, there are so many benefits to wearing this mask. But also, when you see that COVID rates are going back up and there are all these different variants going on, why are we ignoring science just so someone could tell me to smile? Like, it just, we're going back, and we do not need to be going backward. We need to be going forward. And it just seems like this is completely preventable. We could exercise wisdom, but instead, what we are doing is just really catering to the right and also just ignorance that is going to end up biting us again.
I agree. And thank you for mentioning that the cases are going up. I say this not to we've been covering basically every day, not to scare people. I don't want another wave. Yeah. I'm planning potentially to have a couple of people over for an outdoor Hobbit movie viewing. I don't want to have to cancel that, and I would like that to be the first of many. There's several movies that they made, by the way. I don't want it, but we can't pretend that the cases aren't going up. They're back above, I think, 42,000-43,000 average daily cases. That's basically where we bottomed out in this thing. We got down to like 30, 35. Last year, we got down to 10 when it was really lowering. So not as good. And maybe it's Omicron. There's a lot more people that are vaccinated. Maybe the hospitalizations and the death counts won't go up at the same rate. That's what I'm hoping, fingers crossed. But simply cheering doesn't make it so. That's not how public health works. We're going to jump into our last topic of this first hour. It is an unfortunate one, difficult footage. Consider yourself warned as we move into this.
What is y'all doing?
What are y'all doing?
What is y'all doing?
Guess. Take a guess what I'm doing.
Hey, you're like a baby to me. Why you?
Guess what I'm doing.
I don't know what you're doing. I just see you snatching him up off the.
No.
So what? So what's going on then?
He's stealing stuff. If he breaks into your house, he steals something.
Nah, man. What, he stole a bag of chips? So y'all treat me like a whole cold blood.
Keep walking, dude. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Keep walking. I know what I just came up and see. I know what I just came up and see.
Okay, what'd you see?
I see y'all snatching him up the bike like he a grown ass man.
It wasn't him.
Ain't he saying it wasn't him? What y'all doing?
That's crazy. How old is he? 10
years? What y'all talking about, man?
That's against the law.
What y'all doing?
You cannot put that.
What is y'all doing? Take chips. If you stole some chips, I'll pay for them. I'll pay for them. You don't even know where he lives. Y'all just throwing him in the car.
That's what they do. They come here.
Do it. Bro. Leave him alone.
No camera. That's all we can do.
He a kid.
So that's a video that entirely, understandably, has gone viral in the past few days of a kid that might be being identified there by one person as being around 10 years old, alleged to have potentially stolen a bag of chips, being harassed and carted away by the Syracuse Police Department. Now, they now say there's a lot of misinformation around this, and we're looking into exactly what happened. Maybe we'll read their statement in a bit, Adrian, but what it looks like is a needlessly cruel, provocative, like we needed another display from the cops. It's a kid. The stakes are chips, and they are carting him away, like the guy said in the video, as if he was a full-grown adult.
Yeah, and this is something that unfortunately black children often run into, the adultification of black children, this thought that you are less innocent and you are less deserving of the same opportunities and just second chances that we give white children. And so even if this kid did steal a bag of chips, children steal when they're younger and they're supposed to learn a lesson, but it shouldn't be one that involves police, law enforcement intervention, especially when black children grow up in this country already realizing that the cops are not necessarily your friends and that there's a chance that they may kill you. And that chance is kind of high, it seems, or higher than it is for your white friends. And so to terrorize that child even more, as opposed to simply teaching him a lesson by saying, do not do this, this isn't okay, I'm sending you home or I'm calling your parents. That's something that just is cruel and completely and totally unnecessary, but absolutely on par for the United States when it comes to law enforcement.
Yeah, and like the cops get to decide what message they send to individuals and to communities. Do you like anything about what you just did there, Syracuse PD? Is that the best way to have handled it? There's nothing better that you could have done when the stakes are chips. Now look, in their statement, they say that there's a video being shared. The incident is being reviewed. There is some misinformation. The juvenile suspect of larceny was not placed in handcuffs. He was placed in the rear of a patrol unit where he was directly brought home. Officers met with the child's father and no charges were filed. Okay, let's assume that the statement put out immediately after an incident like this by the police is accurate. There's no historic reason why we should assume that. They frequently lie, but let's say that that one is true. Still, you couldn't have managed that better. And every point that you said, Adrian, is so true. I once stole as a kid. I stole, I think it was a pack of Lifesavers. If they had caught me, would it have looked like that? Would I have been dragged out of Kmart, thrown in the back? Do you think that's what would have happened? Every bit of this is so predictable, so needless. Okay, unfortunately, that's all the time we have in this hour. Thank you, everyone. We've got more coming up on the other side with Adrian. Don't go anywhere. Nolan K sent a super chat to say, which dragon here? As a trans woman, I can't thank you enough for your advocacy. Thank you, John. Thank you, Adrian. Thank you, everyone at TDR. Thank you for being with us. I appreciate that. And hate that all of politics 24/7 is identifying people like that and saying they're the true problem facing America. It seems dishonest, I think. Sorry, I Dragon has been a tier 2 member for 16 months and says, hey, Adrian and Dragon Daddy, happy 420. Love you both. Love your purple tie. John, if you're going to continue to look so handsome, we will need dragon ties. Thank you for you all. I think that mostly people say things like that in the chat to make me uncomfortable. And mission accomplished, sorry, I Dragon. But thank you. I'll take a dragon tie if somebody wants someone. Anthony McLendon says, tickets fans, stupid, not necessarily just intellectually lazy. They want chat allows them to feel hate without having to actually use their brains. Exactly. Like it is, there's grievance farming and there's hate farming. It feels good to have a villain. And look, sometimes there are villains, but who are the villains? are the billionaires who've gained hundreds of billions of dollars in wealth while the rest of us have been suffering. No, it's not them. They're not powerful at all. It's some random gay teacher in Wisconsin. That's the villain. That's the issue that I take with all this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.